for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Hans Peregrine. And today on the show, Saski.
An extended version this week, she's chatting to Alice Frick.
The police.
Helen Ridden from Avon and Somerset Police will be here live in the studio.
And News Extra.
A look with Terry at some of the stories a little bit more in depth than normal. So all coming today right here on Shout Out.
Hello.
Good evening. You're a bit too far away to hear. You're going to have to come closer to that one.
So, there we are.
So, and hello, Kenny.
I've taken my hood down now.
Oh, have
I
you?
Thought I should be a little bit profesh.
Hans has got a hoodie that reminds me really a lot of Kenny from South Park.
We'll take a photo and put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I never got into South Park, but I do have a guilty pleasure, which is Family Guy.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I like
and
Family
the Cleveland
Guy.
Show mm-hmm. on ITV2 so. Later.
Well, they stopped doing they stopped making the Cleveland Show now.
They did. They reintroduced Cleveland into the main program. Yeah. But they're both very good.
Yeah, they're both so non-PC as well.
They are, but Seth MacFarlane is a big supporter of LGBTQ.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So
I was banned from watching South Park as a child.
Really?
Yeah.
I was at a dear. I'm showing my age. I was never a child when it came out.
No.
I was about 11 or 12.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's been going a long time, hasn't it?
What's that, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Hello.
Since being at Shout Out, I'm going grey.
How are you?
I'm okay, my darling.
Yeah.
Everything all right? Your week good?
Yeah, good. It's starting to feel a bit more like winter, isn't it? I mean, the rain at the beginning this week was absolutely horrific. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got caught in it. People turned up and were looking like drowned rats on Monday.
It wasn't the best, but hey-ho, it's autumn.
It's officially autumn as well, and I didn't realise autumn lasts all the way until the 22nd of December, and then we start winter.
Yeah, because it's to do with all it's the equinox, so it's the autumnal equinox, which was on Monday, and then the next one is the...
winter solstice. But of course you think when it gets cold it's suddenly winter, and it's not actually winter until it's blooming freezing and 3 days before Christmas, which is odd.
Although, as listeners on Radio Turquoise will be able to tell you, the Welsh word for July is Gorffennaf, which is made of two words, Gorffen, which means end of, and Haf, which means summer. So it literally means the end of summer.
Right.
That's lovely.
We've just been edumacated. And speaking of Wales, Llandudno, is that how you spell it?
Llandudno.
Say it. Llandudno. Museum will be celebrating the diverse past with their LGBT plus history walk from 11 this coming Saturday, the 28th. £2.50 to join in. Get your pens at the ready. 07714 038754.
Yeah, cool.
That's for our listeners in.
So we should learn some more Welsh words. Actually, I like Welsh as a language. It's very interesting. So I got one of the guys we work with is Welsh, and he's been teaching us little bits. Like I did, there's something like three or four different ways you can say the word yes.
Ooh.
In Welsh.
Yeah, it depends what the what the question was.
Yeah.
I'm a quarter Welsh and I can't speak
any. I'm part Welsh too. I know little ones. I know all the rude ones that my grandma taught me when I was a little kid.
Yeah,
I probably can't
good.
Actually say on the radio. So anyway, it's time to catch up with Saski. She's having a chat this week with what's her name? Alice Frick. So we'll have a listen to this.
Saski 5. Oh yes.
Hey everyone, welcome to LGBTQ Shoutout Radio, my Saski 7. And if you like to laugh like I do, you will love my guest this week. I have actress, comedian, out and proud lesbian, and everyone's favourite Austrian funny woman, Alice Frick. Alice, how you doing?
Hi, I'm very well. Thank you for that introduction.
That was a very long but true and amazing introduction, I think. Listen, thank you so much for coming on my show. I know we've seen meet, so we hang out outside of these interviews, so that's so I'm really excited to speak to you on this. But you know, you are a funny woman, and you've done loads of international tours. You've gigged at the Edinburgh Fringe, Comedy Store in LA, which also, you know, this is places where like Jim Carrey and Whoopi Goldberg started. So you've been around in a good way. You've been around, Alice. You've been around.
Yeah, all in a good way.
But you know, I was checking out your website and you know, doing my research as I do, and it's almost like you're either a finalist or a winner at most competitions that you enter. You know, this is quite a bold career for someone to get involved in, you know, to be a comedian. What was it that made you, you know, really go for it with this professionally?
Yeah, so I studied acting at first and business because my parents wanted me to study something properly. So I think that combination made me do comedy. And then I basically, I did an improv show, but where a single improv player had to be on stage and improvise. And I was so scared of that I started to write my stories and perform them. Mm-hmm. But then my improv teacher kicked me out because she said, that's not improv. Fair enough, it was not. And I thought, what to do next? And then I applied for a comedy competition and I won this. And that basically got me into it. So It was a little bit by accident or wrongly placed at first, but then I found my way.
Then you found your path. Oh my God. Well, you certainly did, because you've got your show, your stand-up show. And please, for the audience, please tell us the name of your stand-up show.
So I have a mixed comedy show called Laughing Labia, and that's a name that nobody forgets. My grandmother still remembers.
She does.
Like, what? And then my solo show, I have a couple of solo shows in English and two solo shows in German, and my English solo show is called What the Frick, and that's also the name of a web series I wrote. So that's I'm trying to get that produced at the moment.
Yes, so tell us a bit more about your web series. What's happening with that?
I produced a pilot last year, and I have sent that off to festivals. So I was invited to the Sicily Festival in Seoul, in the UK at the UK Webfest, and just was in Copenhagen last weekend. And so yeah, the pilot is out. Now the next step would be to produce the other episodes. And that will happen hopefully in the beginning of next year. I'm just trying to finalize everything and prepare the shooting.
Oh my gosh, how exciting! And do you write, produce, and edit everything within your web series?
I am the writer of it, and I have produced the first episode, the pilot. I had an external editor, so I was there and edited as well, because it's easier when you sit next to the editor and then you can just work out the comical timing of the sitcom. Mm-hmm. So that's easier, and I edit myself as well, but, you know, just basically, I don't do color correction and all these complicated things. I'm just like, basic edit I can do.
Oh my God, color correction. I mean, that's, for me, when you talk about color correction, I'm thinking about makeup, and even there I have to stop at foundation and mascara. So please, color correction, I don't know, you lost me. I don't blame you. But all these things are so exciting. I actually, I've obviously been to your shows before, and I've seen you perform at many events, and I know we've interviewed before as well. But I really do love you. You've just got such a great rapport with the audience, you know, when you do your shows. And I mean, even going back to Laughing Labia, which I must say, when I Googled that, it took, you can imagine the places it took me to online. And for some sites, I must say I stayed a bit longer than I probably should have. But, you know, coming back to, you know, your act and how you put on your shows, is it quite difficult picking other performers? You know, are you quite picky with your performers? I mean, I suppose you've got to be, but, you know, there's a standard, right?
This show is basically a show with an all-female lineup, because I want to feature more female comedians, because the comedy scene is quite misogynistic and unequal for women, if you see the big shows. So that's why I want female comedians. And I try to book a quite diverse lineup, so you have different acts that you can say, oh, wow, so that nobody can say women are not funny, because you just have so many different kind of women that you say, oh my God, okay, maybe I don't like this one, but they are funny. It's not a gender thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you are funny. Oh my God, you are so funny. And I'm not just saying that because I've got you on the show, Alice. But you know, obviously you are funny, and your shows are really amazing and so much fun. Where can people come and see Laughing Labia? Where is it currently being held?
It's every first Sunday of the month. So the next one is on the 6th of October. And it's at 7 o'clock at Cuba in Leicester Square in Soho in London. So if you're around, come by.
Yes.
It'll be fun. It's the season opening on the 6th of October.
Oh, fabulous. So listen, the other thing I was going to say to you is as well, is, you know, talking about misogynistic you know, how women get sort of probably not the best start in trying to break into the comedy circuit. Have you found that you've had struggles with that in your own career?
100%. It starts by how you get introduced on stage when you're on stage, because with men they say he's a brilliant comedian, and as a woman they say, oh, she has great tits, or she's beautiful or something.
Oh,
and
God.
You think like, well, or things that people say to you before you go on stage. Somebody said to me, you really perform in that dress, and I was thinking, oh God, yes, why not? And that makes you insecure, and therefore it also influences your performance. And then you also don't get booked so easily. It's really hard to get booked because people just tend to book only one female act per show, if so, in general.
Oh God, I mean, people don't even realise this half the time, do they? You know, the struggles behind the scenes that go on. But
yeah.
I just want to say, listen, nonetheless, you are fabulous, amazing, and one of my favourite funny women on the circuit and in general. So listen, if people are asking, and forgive me, Alice, I couldn't resist, if they're asking, Alice, who the frick is Alice, where can they find you to follow you, stalk you on social media?
I'm on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook under Alice Frick. It's my name, Alice like Alice in the Wonderland, and Frick like what the frick. And then laughinglabia.com is the website for the Mixed Comedy Show. It has also a Facebook page. And what the frick is on YouTube as the sitcom. WTFrick.com is the website for it.
Oh, fabulous. Listen, thank you so much, Alice. I look forward to seeing you at your shows and for a drink very soon. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I do like that song.
Very nice.
That's Lewis Capaldi and Someone You Loved. So
breaks my heart a little bit, that one.
I know. Well, I played that a few weeks ago and you really liked it, so I thought I'd put it in again.
I always feel like I can sing just like him, though, when it comes on. I have to.
I'm pleased you didn't.
I didn't go into it, you're lucky.
Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This Shout Out News on Thursday the 26th of September.
The BBC News Channel visited the precarious position for LGBT people in South Korea last weekend. Despite the huge growth in interest in the culture of a small East Asian country with the success of K-pop music, the channel found that the laws governing equalities are highly conservative and that there is a movement of fundamentalist Christian groups who are fixated on homosexuality and opposing LGBT human rights. The BBC News reporters took the revealing but harrowing footage of a small pride parade in the capital city, Seoul, which religious extremists were seen to be snarling abuse at the dignified and restrained LGBTQ marchers. The reporters were moved to comment that despite the hostility faced by LGBTQ communities in South Korea, that there was hope that attitudes were gradually changing and that people would soon be able to enjoy legal protections from discrimination. By the contrast, the situation in North Korea, a communist state which occupies the northern part of the Korean peninsula, is difficult to ascertain. The secretive country is a thorn in the side of Western governments, and although religious extremists are suppressed by the state, there is little evidence to suggest that LGBTQ people are able to organise or live their lives openly. There are also some leftist groups in the UK that support North Korea, such as the CPGBML, an old-fashioned communist faction. However, these groups are largely silent on how the country treats minority groups.
The international television network Al Jazeera has interviewed several women active in Afghanistan, where a US-led coalition of military forces ousted the Islamic fundamentalist Taliban government in 2001. Since then, women's rights have gradually spread in the country, but the progress has been patchy, and parts of the outlying provinces are still under the control of Taliban and ex-Taliban forces. Women's rights advocates fear that with the United States under Donald Trump looking inward and wanting to remove their occupation forces from Afghanistan, then the Taliban could gain control, and left to their own devices, any future Taliban government would seriously curtail women's rights. The sect is currently in peace negotiations with the interim Afghan government and the US forces, and the situation remains complicated.
BBC Radio is launching a four-day special event station this weekend on the digital DAB radio nationally to mark the 50th anniversary of the release of the Beatles' Abbey Road album. Radio 2 Beatles will be on air until Sunday and will feature special programmes presented from the Abbey Road studio location by such luminaires as Kerris Matthews and Gary Barlow. The Beatles have some links to LGBT politics. Their manager during the middle 60s was a gay Jewish Bengali music expert called Brian Epstein. Some people believe that the song You've Got to Hide Your Love Away was a remark on his on the secrecy of which gay and lesbian people had to conduct their relationships at the time. After the international emergence of the gay liberation movement in the late 60s, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, who were becoming increasingly politically active, lent their support financially and emotionally to the nascent movement. Lennon and Ono were avid readers of the underground press of the day and engaged in debates on issues of peace, human rights and ecology. Ms. Ono has continued to support gay rights since the death of her husband, when she heard that the religious group hijacked the song lyrics of Every Man Has a Woman Who Loves Him, she authorised the lyrics to be reinterpreted as Every Man Has a Man Who Loves Him.
The youth climate strike took place across the globe on Friday last. It was the largest single global day of protest since anti-poverty demonstrations, which characterised the run-up to the G8 summit in 2005. TV news networks covered demos of young people and their older supporters taking place in various countries, from Australia to Iceland. Excuse me, the event involved hundreds of groups and networks, ranging from established environmental groups like Greenpeace to more radical organisations. In Bristol, our reporter noted more than one rainbow flag along the route of a very good-natured march, which wound its way through the city's shopping quarter. And there was significant support for the event amongst the younger and more radical end of the LGBTQ movement.
John Smithy addressed the political left, which has traditionally supported unlimited heterosexual reproduction and regards the warning of population control groups and deep environmentalists as scaremongering or reactionary. He writes for the leftist weekly newspaper, The Weekly Worker, that has a good case to be made for the left to support efforts to support the stop of endless human reproduction. This will chime with those members of the LGBT and radical queer movements that believe the heteronormative child-rearing is wreaking havoc with the planet. Mr. Smithy said that in The Weekly Worker, the working class has always tried to limit the supply of labour. One way is through the demands for birth control, another is through the trade union closed shop. In the 21st century, the best way of controlling the supply of labour is by encouraging women to have a maximum of 2 children. And as I've written before, all men and women should be offered a tax-free grant of £500 if they agree to be sterilised. At the same time, the government should abolish child tax benefit and child tax credit elements of universal credit. The money saved should go to sex education classes in secondary school. Finally, Mr. Smithy says that it concurs with the Green Party manifesto for the 2015 general election, which states that the UK government should have a population target reduced to just 20 million by 2100, from its current population of 65 million. In this time, the radical left woke up and recognised that the population growth is a problem.
And finally, Janessa Goldbeck is standing for the Democrats in the United States for Congress. The lesbian former military commander is an unusual political activist for the party, however, in that she has come out firmly on the side of the right of US citizens to bear arms. Goldbeck does think that the United States needs to restrict civilians from access to some of the dangerous automatic weapons she was trained with in the military, but she said she's a supporter of the principal right to bear. Goldbeck rose to the rank of captain in the US Army, but cut short her military career to care for her mother and to work on providing support for military personnel who'd experienced assault. Ms. Goldbeck's stance on guns will put her at difference from most mainstream LGBTQ organisations. But theirs is not the only narrative in town. There are a significant number of the LGBTQ community who believe in taking advantage of the United States principle of bearing arms. There's a group called Pink Pistols, which is a network for gay, trans and queer gun owners, and they say armed gays don't get bashed. Well, it's a powerful message in a country where there is still very much prejudice.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hole.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
And apologies for the motorbike you could hear in the background there. It did get a little bit on the loud side. You do have to remember we are in a temporary studio.
I like
at
bikers.
The moment.
I was craning my neck to
we
see if
like,
he was in leathers.
All like
not.
Bikers, yeah.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Now, I know you like that one. You said several weeks ago you like that one.
So much. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
And I think I knew I was presenting with you.
Almost. So, yeah. I know. You're so thoughtful.
No one told our guest who was presenting, apparently. Bless her. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So, from Avon Somerset Police, Helen Riddle is back with us again. It's lovely to have you back. I'm trying to think when it was. I think we last saw you. I think we've bumped into you in the festival since we last had you on the show, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. The last time I was with Steph was down at Western Pride, I believe.
That's it was right. Western, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was a good day till it rained at the end. Did you get caught in that as well? It
was always a good day at Western.
It is, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, still. Anyway, you're here to. We're having a bit of a catch up with you today, aren't we? And it sounds like more recently there's been a lot going on internally. Would that be right to say?
Yeah, not with me specifically, obviously.
No, I mean with the police.
With Avon and Somerset, yes. Just clear that up for everybody.
That hadn't even crossed my mind then.
Yes, we have. We've been making some really quite groundbreaking changes in our internal systems at work to try and reflect people's gender identities and their sexual orientation to be more representative so that people can record their own identities correctly as members of staff, but also to change our systems so that people who are coming to us for help, reporting to us, can also see themselves reflected in the options, which was not the case before.
So if I'm non-binary or gender fluid or something like that and I identify as they, them, is that something you can now do as a police person?
Yes, we're changing our systems to accommodate that. And we very much made sure that we had something practical to say to people when we were celebrating Bi-Visibility Day on Monday. We wanted to be able to say that we were actually doing something practical and positive, not just, although it was fantastic that we had the flag flying at headquarters, but it was to say that we were actually doing something practical as well.
Cool. And of course, and you said that the same with, like, if we come in and report, because you have to record everything when someone comes in and reports something anyway, don't you?
But absolutely.
Has it traditionally been you could only do I'm a him or a her then before?
Yeah, very much so. And our options that were offered. I don't know when it's... I think the problem is that when software companies come to an organisation to make a package... there isn't often a suitable equality impact assessment made, and that certainly was the case.
And that little gender box that's the 100 things you've got to fill out is the last thing they really think about.
So. And to be honest, we had some really quite dreadful things on our drop-down options, such as indeterminate, whatever that is supposed to mean about somebody.
Okay.
Helen, can I ask how the straight police officers are coping with the amount of options now available to the queer community?
Well, we had an inclusion and diversity board today that's chaired by our Deputy Chief Constable, Sarah Crewe, and we had an input from one of our network members, Charlotte, who'd put a package together that it goes to our gender board, which I'm really pleased to say was passed unanimously today for these actions to happen. But yes, of course, there is a concern around people understanding the language properly, feeling comfortable about the language. So we are putting in a training package, and our staff network page links to lots of information that we can give to staff, and also recognising the fact that we as a network can't be everywhere to deliver, you know, face-to-face training, which would be the best thing to do because it gives people a chance to explore and ask questions in, you know, in a safe environment. But
do they do that? Do they ask questions?
Certainly. And as soon as I put out our blog in support of everything this week, I mentioned bi and queer identities, and people immediately came back to me through the email system saying, I didn't think it was okay to say queer. Isn't that offensive? And so, you know, that was a time when we could look to help and educate people who were asking genuine questions.
Mm. I mean, is the public's perception of things changing? Are you finding people do now come in and they're more open about saying, I don't identify as male or female? Or
yeah, definitely. And the great thing is we're finally managing to attract people into the organisation as members of staff, and we're getting requests from people around non-binary identities.
Brilliant, cool. So what do you know? What's coming up next? Is there plans for other bits to kind of like integrate with? Well, I say integrate. It's not. That's probably not the right word. But you know, it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Is this a step in a series of them, or is there?
Well, it's a huge start, and we're very proud that nationally we're leading the way with this work. The next big piece of work that we're bringing in, which was also passed today by our Inclusion and Diversity Board, is around trans members of staff and searching of public in their police roles, and the guidance that's offered around that, because the law that governs that is called the Police and Criminal Evidence Act,
right.
And it's very specific and very very based around biological sex as a definition rather than gender. And so the Equality Act gives protection to members of staff and suggests that we should treat people respectfully in their preferred gender as soon as they disclose that to anybody. So the staff member will be treated according to the way they wish to be treated, but that puts them in a difficult position legally when it comes to using their powers of search. So our National Police Chief Constable Julie Cook has issued instructions to all the constabularies that they need to look at this and make a decision with their legal departments about what they're going to do. And I'm really pleased to say that in Avon and Somerset, we're very much coming down on the side of Equality Act and protecting our staff and respecting our staff.
Does that mean that if you've got somebody who's, got a male body, dressed as female, so you're actually treating them with respect and calling them she or her, but if you need to do a search, is that not going to be difficult for either a male or a female police officer? How do you go about that? That must be a difficult decision on the night, right there, right then.
It is very difficult. We obviously try and be as sensitive and respectful as we can. It will cause issues. And as long as we explain to people what the procedure is, what we need to do, and then find out what gender they would prefer to be recognised as, and then get staff to accommodate that as much as we can.
So can I ask, what is the legal... So having never been searched by a police officer, I hope I never have need to be, but, you know, say that is what's about to happen, how does it work? Because I identify as male, a gay man, but does that mean that it would automatically be a male police officer that would perform the search, or is it something I have a choice in, or...?
I think we're... Yes. The laws that govern it talk about only a member of the same sex should search, and this is where the issue is, because when the law was written, it was written by people in a very binary, biological way.
Yeah. So, Helen, it mentions the word sex specifically, not gender.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, a female officer would not search any kind of intimate part of your body at all. That would be, you know, completely wrong. Someone might ask to search your coat or your bag, but for somebody to be actually searching it, which involved touching you, that would only ever be done in an extreme circumstance by a person of an opposite gender to you.
What if I was less comfortable with a male police officer doing it because I'm gay?
I would say that. If that situation ever happened to you, you could say, I'd rather, you know, your colleague were to search me. But what you'd probably find is that a female officer would say, it's just not appropriate that I do that, according to PACE. So whilst we might be trying our best to be respectful towards you, the officer would be trying to work within the law, essentially. Right.
Also, you must respect your police officer's viewpoint as
well.
Yes,
that was the next thing I was going to say, because it's not one-sided, is it? You know, I mean, usually if you're being stopped and searched, it's because there's a suspicion you've probably done something wrong. Mm. You know, so, okay, it's great that, you know, you get some say in it, but you also have to take the other side of the equation too, which is the police officer. Mm. And it can make it obviously quite hard when you've got straight people and gay people and everything in between and all the different genders. It must make it really difficult to even sit down and work out, well, how do we define what we're going to do if it's not by sex?
It is difficult, but the point is, officers should have the confidence to have those respectful conversations, and then that will lead to better understanding and a less stressful situation for everybody.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you again, and it's brilliant to hear so much thought going into everything that the police are doing around it. So long may it continue, I hope.
Oh, thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
So,
thank you.
I'm sure we'll catch up with you again, though. But for now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
So I had to get that one in for you, Steph.
You nicked that from my playlist, didn't you?
I gave it to you in the first place.
No, you didn't.
And that's a Marvin Gaye, Cahill radio edit. But me and Steph absolutely love that one, don't we?
It is good, yeah.
It's a real dancey one.
Very dancey.
I haven't heard Marvin Gaye for a while. Well, Marvin, it's actually Charlie Puth is the artist.
Charlie Puth and Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye, yes. Great soul singer.
Yeah, so anyway, this is the show where we do News Extra.
We do a lot of things on this show.
And it's where we dive a little bit more in depth into some of the subjects that have been in the news this week, including the motorbike in the background.
Oh, yes.
So what are we talking about this week, then?
Well, we're talking about a couple of things, if we can squeeze them in.
Right.
We're going to talk a little bit about Stonewall and the risk of the... Well, not the Stonewall group splitting, but people setting up a rival organisation to Stonewall. It's all tied up with the debate in the lesbian community about trans rights. And then I'd also like to touch on the lovely story, or quite harrowing in places story, but the story of survival of Jessie Nelson, who's the beautiful size 16 lady in Little Mix, the pop group. And I want to talk about body shaming and, you know, the things that happen to her on the internet and what we can do as a community about that kind of issue
as
well.
That's something I've been reading a lot about recently. There are a couple of clips from BBC
documentary. That's right, a really good BBC Three documentary. But before we come on to that one, because that's sort of like more of the sort of pop end of things we can finish with, there was a letter published in the Sunday Times at the weekend, signed by 22 people, mostly lesbian feminists, but some gay men as well, including Simon Fanshawe, who was one of the founders, one of the key players in the creation of Stonewall in 1988. Very critical of the direction that Stonewall has taken under Ruth Hunt, and arguably
voted on it to to open it up and
they have. They have, and this is the issue. This is what the letter was taking issue with. It was a group of people who identified as lesbian and gay who were not happy about the inclusion of trans and gender non-binary identities in the Stonewall remit, which happened in, I think, about 2016. It's quite a while ago now, wasn't it? Now, they have threatened to create a separate lobby group which will only focus on lesbian and gay issues, and they feel that trans women are erasing we've seen that this has come up before, hasn't it, you know, with these sort of radical feminist groups who have been sort of
nerfs.
They're called TERFs. They're called TERFs.
I call them nerfs.
Right. we better explain. I think TERF stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist.
And what does NERF stand for?
Not even real feminist.
Well, this is it, because I think it's very important to mention that the majority lesbian opinion is very much in favour of trans rights, and so is the mainstream feminist opinion. These are only a small minority of people.
I don't get it, because surely it's going back in time to go back to just gay and lesbian. We already know it's far more fluid than that, and it doesn't just fall into those two or three categories. I mean, everywhere from totally gay to totally lesbian to bi, it's a whole spectrum. So is it not kind of like, you know, going back a step?
Yes, and one of the things that's interested me personally is how different sort of factions in the community behave. And it is very strange to see some of these groups such as Get the L Out, which is an organisation which wants to take lesbian campaigning away from the wider LGBT movement. And the fact that some of the criticisms they've made of trans women are very similar to the kind of things that were being said about lesbians by The Sun and The Daily People and all those sorts of newspapers back in the 1980s. So, I mean, there's a real issue here.
There is a history, though, around the planet of minorities who've been persecuted then go on to persecute other people.
The minorities of the minority.
Does that not also include people who've been abused, might go on to abuse? Is there not something instilled?
Are you talking about learnt behaviour?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the
I think
one.
There is something to say about that. And I think one thing that always sort of blows my mind a little bit is that people that have been on the outside and that have always looked for inclusion and acceptance are then the same people that can actually do that to other people in quite horrific ways at times. Yeah. And
I was going to say, if you go back to like the 70s and the 80s and all the campaigning that was going on there, I'm sure the people that did it then, all that campaigning to give us the rights that we have now, would be absolutely mortified to see this kind of thing going on and this kind of infighting within the LGBT community.
And indeed, one of the criticisms that's been made of this letter that was published, it was published in a newspaper which doesn't have the best reputation for covering LGBT issues, and it was kind of like,
there aren't
in
many
a way,
newspapers that have a reputation for covering things in a good way.
Perhaps if it appeared in The Guardian, which is a sort of classical liberal paper, it might have sort of carried more weight, but one of the criticisms is they've been airing sort of like the movement's dirty laundry in public.
So now with 22 people, though, is it actually representative?
Well, this is it, because
there are thousands of people in Stonewall that are members of Stonewall.
There are indeed nationally, there are tens of thousands, I believe. And at Brighton Pride in August, there was a huge to react to the group calling itself "Get the L Out." There's another group called "Keep the L with the T," which seeks to mobilise lesbian support for trans rights, including those of trans women, and they boasted hundreds and hundreds of women marching behind the banners. So we shouldn't over exaggerate the things.
A similar kind of thing, I think, happened at Manchester Pride, didn't it? Because there was a group of TERFs at the front of that tried to take it over, and they were very soon blocked. And
there were, yeah, you know. Yeah. So it is a minority opinion, but obviously, you know, it could become an issue if people do try to set up a group which will campaign against, or not campaign against Stonewall, but sort of like do something separate.
You say it's a minority, though, but is the mainstream, the mainly straight people or the right-wing press, that will pick up on that? Even though it's a minority, make it as though it's a run-of-the-mill viewpoint.
Well, I mean, I mean, not to get too paranoid about it, but there is a tendency, isn't there, for people in authority to, well, they like to sort of like pit different factions against each other, and that's always been a way. If they can put sort of radical feminists against trans women, then that sort of like weakens both.
It just sounds so exhaustive to me. I've been, I would like to say in a conversation, but I've been talked at by trans exclusionary radical feminists, and I just genuinely sit there not knowing how to respond. And when I have responded and asked, you know, for backup for what they're saying, there's generally very little.
Well, Stonewall did respond, didn't they?
They did. Stonewall issued a statement responding to the letter, and they say, "We're proud of the work we do with trans communities to advance trans equality. It's central to our goal for every gay, lesbian, bi and trans person to be accepted without exception. Trans people are currently facing horrific levels of harassment and abuse in their daily lives, and that's a situation none of us should accept. Now, we know that there is huge support for trans rights from lesbian, gay and bi communities and within the feminist movement." That's, I think, a crucial bit to sort of say, from within the feminist movement. "And so now is the time to make that support even more visible and vocal." And obviously the government agrees, because in the outgoing honours list of Theresa May, Ruth Hunt, the CEO of Stonewall, who's seen this change or expansion in their remit, is being made a life peer, and she's going to sit in the House of Lords and be able to influence legislation. I mean, that's amazing. An incredible achievement from an organisation that back in the 1980s, when it was founded, was seen as a bunch of radical gays. And now, here we are with their CEO being appointed to the House of Lords.
Brilliant.
So maybe that's a nice...
Is she still staying on as CEO?
No, I believe she's going to leave down, and they're going to have somebody else. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Cool. Well, from one story to another, of course, our Little Mix star has also been in the press. Something that actually really upsets me, especially being a guy that's a little bit larger as I'm getting older.
You and me both, mate.
That is that whole. I mean, I caught clips of the thing that went out. Cause I think it was BBC Three it went out on, didn't it?
The youth channel.
She was saying that having, you know, gone on the show to sing and they got so successful, the first thing that happened was she just got a ton of abuse about how she looked and the like. And imagine being someone who your passion is singing and you go on a show and you do so well, everyone loves you and you're that successful, to suddenly turn on your social media and see threats to kill you and tell you how bad you are. And it doesn't matter what you look like. Imagine what that must feel like.
Where does that hate come from? And I'm sure you're about to answer that.
On the spot.
Yeah. I think it's
projection of personal insecurities.
The problem, especially with social media and more specifically the ones like Twitter, because Facebook's obviously a bit more visible.
Yes.
But Twitter, you can totally hide behind a PC.
It's trolling.
No one can see you. And no, you're not actually anonymous. That's one thing that should be made clear. You know, if you do break the law, the police can find you. Just because you're on Twitter doesn't mean that you can escape. But there is this feeling that you're hidden and you can hide behind a keyboard and you can say the most vilest things without taking into account it's another human being on the other side that you're...
Mm. Yeah, well, that's another thing, that people can't face each other.
No, they can't. And I think, not to excuse it, but to understand the behaviour of trolling, I think what it is that people genuinely, who are deeply insecure, often isolated, often people who don't leave their rooms, sort of find an outlet in becoming abusive and aggressive and demeaning to other people. But I remember when Jessie became famous, when Little Mix kind of erupted onto the scene, and the first thing I could hear people saying was, "She's the ugly and fat one." I heard people say it. And she was always my favourite.
Absolutely.
Well, for a start, she's not ugly.
She's not ugly. She's
She was ever ugly.
Incredible rapper.
Yes.
I just think she brought something so unique to that group.
She was. She's got talent. So why would you worry about anything else?
It's the same when any celeb puts on weight and loses weight. Cheryl Cole, a couple of years ago, dropped under a specific weight and then got massively trolled and targeted online and called anorexic and skeletal. And you think she's obviously processing and going through something as it is. You know, these people don't need to be reading this.
And it shows you can't actually win with these trolls, because they will attack somebody like Jessie for being what they perceive as too large, and somebody like Cheryl for being too thin.
You can't
actually win. The unfortunate thing is Jessie sort of became addicted to reading about herself, which I think is something that happens with the internet, doesn't it? Is people, get addicted to reading the sort of lower half of the internet that I've heard it described as, you know, the comment threads where people rant and rave.
Well, and ironically, well, not ironically, it's pretty horrific, but people were screenshotting her video and continuing with the negativity, saying things like, oh, boohoo, you are fat, get over it. You know, so even though she's been brave and speaking out about what she's going through, she's still going to be reading these negative and hurtful things.
I think. I mean, with the help of a therapist, she has actually learned how to switch off the internet, and she's come off of Twitter. And I think that's quite a healthy thing.
It must be. I know a lot of help is given in the music industry. There's been things about it, but it's not just there. She's an example of someone who's very much in the spotlight. This also happens to people in everyday life.
Yeah,
especially kids bullying each other now that, you know, mobile phones are prevalent in schools and that kind of thing. And this it's something that in some cases has had the most horrific consequences.
Suicide.
Of people doing things like killing themselves.
Yeah. And Rebecca Nicholson, writing in The Guardian, said the frequency with which the words kill yourself are used as a throwaway insult on social media is a shocking indictment of our times. And I think that sort of summarises
it. Well, that just about follows on with what happened in the Houses of Parliament last night.
Yes, it did, didn't it? And that erupted into a very negative...
It was vicious.
Well, pretty much slagging match.
It did. And that just about sums up society since 2016 Brexit vote.
You know. Do you think so? Do you look at the figures,
and I'm sure Helen, who's still in the room, can quantify those figures that since the referendum for Brexit, hate crime shot up.
It is true that there's been a spike, regardless of, you know, what you think caused it, but there is an issue for all minorities. There's issues of anti-Semitism and homophobia and so on and so
forth. Well, when you've got a kid running the country, what do you expect?
No comment.
I would prefer to have 10 children running around my house 24 hours a day with no sleep than have Boris Johnson running my country.
Oh, dear.
So, do you know, five years ago, if someone had said that you'd have Trump running America and Boris running the UK, no one would have ever believed it.
We live in interesting times, but I understand.
This is the Hunger Games, Terry.
I understand that may you live in interesting times is a Chinese curse, they say to their enemies. So.
But very quickly, going back to our subject about the love figure from Little Miss, if it is something that you're experiencing, if you're being bullied, whatever you do, talk to someone.
Tell
them. Because if you keep it to yourself, that you'll just tie yourself
up
in knots. The best thing you can do is talk.
Trust your police.
Trust
your local police.
Talk to the police. If you're at school, talk to your teacher, student counsellor, somebody like that. Contact the Samaritans. Contact organisations that can help. There's lots of help online as well. Despite all the negativity of social media, there's some great resources online.
If you're specifically, if you're a man who's struggling, there's the CALMS website, which is fantastic online support.
The campaign against living miserably,
that's
isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly right, Terry.
That's the one.
Not heard of that one.
Mindline as well.
Mindline.
But CALMS is great because you can actually chat online like you would on WhatsApp, which I think for some people not having to phone up can be really useful.
So, this is the thing, you see. I mean, it's technology, and technology is absolutely brilliant, and it does so much. And I personally think things like the internet have helped to accelerate the removal of, you know, a lot of the stigma and homophobia and trans and all of that. Because before, it was just word of mouth, and now someone who might be thinking, you know, I don't like him because he's gay, can actually go and find out in their own private way without anyone ever knowing, and then find out it's not actually as bad as they think. And
there's always been trolls. I mean, if you go back to the 19th century, I mean, the police were, in the time of the Jack the Ripper case, the police received all sorts of weird poison pen letters from people basically getting off on the idea of fooling the police or thinking that, you know, that they were Jack the Ripper.
Many years later, same thing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
The Zodiac murders.
I've heard of them, but don't know much about them. But
I didn't know you were a history buff.
It happens, but as Andy says, it's very direct now with the internet. This is what happens. That's technology.
It is indeed. Anyway, that's it for another week. We're really pleased to say the website is now back up and running. So if you do want to check us out online, all you have to do is head over to
shoutoutradio.lgbt to catch up and find out more.
Anyway, we'll be back next week with a brand new show as always.
Shoutout is broadcasted from BCFM Studios in Bristol. Executive producer Steffi Barnett, director Andy Shields, and news editor Terry Starr. And from the rest of us, it's goodbye.
We're broadcasted, are we?
What?
You said we're broadcasted.
That's very West Country. I like
broadcasted.
It.
I love it.
but it sounded lovely, Andy.
For myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
LGBT Radio for you.